Howard, thank you very much for being here. How are
Pleasure.
You doing? It's thrilling to have you just in such a specific moment, you know? I'm going to take off my sunglasses that protect me from the moodiness of the people because I know that with you I'm safe. If we're going down to hell, I'm putting them back, okay? But in the meanwhile, we're safe in the studio. Anyways, we were talking off the air today, and I'm so glad to have you here and debate this and talk about it because we were going to talk about the end of the world and everything that's going to happen, or that what the Mayans predicted in their calendars about December 25th, 2012. And it's not a coincidence that everything that is happening or that happened in Connecticut, you know, was just like this insane, massive assassination or however, you know, you call it. What's going on, Howard? Like, I'm just like, I can't even believe this.
Well, from my perspective, what happened in Connecticut is a mirror of the Mayan and the Hopi prophecies that the world is going to come to the end. Most people materialize that and feel the physical world's going to come to an end. But it's really the cultures that have existed that have come to the end of a cycle that have to come to an end with a new mythology that's going to be the hope of the next cycle. Your listeners may or may not be aware of, this is the end of a 26,000 year cycle where the Earth has gone all the way around the orbit to the beginning. It's also the end of the age of Pisces, which mm-hmm. is about fragmentation and opposites and good, bad, and binary thinking. And the beginning of the age of Aquarius is happening right at this time, according to some of the great people. Now, this is not astrology. This is about the universe, the Earth, the planets, and something that ancient indigenous cultures lived and were guided by. And we've been caught in a mind-body split. And so, yes, something is over. And I think this kind of tragedy of tragedies, maybe the biggest emotional experience I've had in my life on a collective level, I feel so revved up about the implications of this. And are we going to learn, besides laws, but are we going to psychologically learn to become conscious? And as you said right at the beginning of your show, to me, you answered this by the song you have on and what you said. This is about love, love, love. And I doubt very much if this young man and got loved for his dark side, for his complicated side. Loved, loved, loved. I don't know. I doubt it. He's been called in the paper this morning developmentally disordered. Well, I know that my whole life I've been developmentally disordered according to the model of Western culture's reality of what it is supposed to be a man or a boy. I was always off, but I didn't get support for that, and most males don't get support unless they are over-identified with what I call the heroic solar masculine. There's two heroes in mythologies. There's the solar male hero, and mm-hmm. there's the lunar male hero. And Western culture, in its roots, has killed one as its mythology. Every other culture in the world, including, I'll tell you a little bit about the Mayan culture and why this is so important to me personally, is that every other culture has had twin male heroes and dual female heroines. I'm not going to talk about the feminine right now, since most of the violence seems to be, but there's plenty of violence from women, and we're not going to let them off the hook here. But
the majority comes from men.
The acting out violence. With the guns so far has come from men mostly. And if you look at the world right now, the world is, this is a minor mirror.
It's ruled by men.
It's ruled by guns and violence and politicians and power and control and land and all that kind of stuff. But the point being is that in the indigenous cultures, there were two male parts. One was the solar. Mm-hmm. And one was the lunar, the emotional and the logical. Western culture, the only culture on record, one killed the other. At the roots of every growing up, I grew up not knowing there was another hero in the culture. And still, I doubt very much if that's going to get much airtime. So, yes, the murder is at the core of Western culture. Now, the world is pretty westernized these days. So yeah. This is a world mythology. It's not a Western cultural mythology anymore. And the truth is that death as an archetype, as a structure that is biologically there and psychologically there, the other side of death is rebirth. And are we going to rebirth a culture that has a twin consciousness in it, a solar and a lunar male consciousness? Are we going to fight for that, or are we going to just fight for another version of control and power and laws? That's not going to do much. It's about consciousness and love, and that means bringing back a whole different mindset.
Okay, let me, first of all, before I start asking you questions, I want to promote your website, solarlunar.com. You can read all his articles. That's his, that's Howard Steich's, website. It's a really good one, all the things you explain there, and it's awesome because a lot of people that don't understand all the things that you're saying, there's like, you know, it explains, from the beginning, you know, everything that's, that you talk about, like that people know where you're coming from and what is your background. So it's solarlunar.com. Carl Jung, you have him there. I love that guy. I read a lot about him. So you can, you can go inside his website and check all his material. And I think even our shows are there, right? Like I saw
a couple of
three
of them are there, and the rest are going to be put up. It's a great honor to be here.
Oh, please, Howard. Thank you for being here, for coming. Now, I know what you mean, and I understood everything, but I mean, there is people that have mental diseases, like
absolutely.
This guy that killed all these kids and these people.
Yeah, absolutely. They get you can get possessed by one a part of the mind that can take over, and that when that part takes over, it's like a dogmatic ruling principle. They're technically called autonomous complexes. And this young man, for example, he had a mother complex. Mm-hmm. He killed his mother. This, whatever that was between the two of them that started off this wounding, it's called the mother complex. And when any of these complexes take over and you don't have a personality to mediate them, you have one-sidedness and you have what in the Judeo-Christian world is called evil. In indigenous cultures, they didn't use the word evil, but they had all kinds of negative forces that could take over and run the culture. In fact, every single culture in the history that's recorded, always, all their rituals
talks about the evil. What is the evil? Well, is it the mind, or is it like a spirit?
It's both and. If it takes over, if the invisible part of the world, which is most of the world, not the materialistic part that we've been trained at, you learn how to see about the invisible. You learn how to see about dreams. You learn how to see about emotions.
Okay, wait, before we move forward, because there's a person, a listener that asked here, ask him how can evil spirit coming in human mind that commits heinous crime can be stopped?
You can't stop this. It's a matter of can you have different relationships as individuals and cultures, as a community and as a world. You can't stop the light and the dark. If you go to my website, I've written endlessly about how to have a both and psychology rather than an either or. When you have a culture that has an either or psychology, you increase the probabilities of being possessed by this dark, quote, evil force.
Okay, let's go back to the evil force that you're talking about, and you say that we should pay more attention and know what is the evil and the invisible. How do you know? Like, all these indigenous cultures and everything, how did they know who was the evil, how to protect yourself from that?
They had rituals that were rituals of love and rituals of wholeness. They worship the universe. They worship nature. They were spiritual in a way that were not, except those people that are religious in church in a certain way. So they honored the universe. They honored nature.
Yeah.
They
the
were
planet.
At oneness. They weren't in a mental body split, in a fragmentation. The more you split the mind and the body, the more you invite darkness and evil.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that doesn't mean they were sweet, because they were very violent too. This is the nature, prey or predator. This goes back in so many different labels. But in the modern world, it's about having a different value proposition about worshiping people and others rather than material and objects as a core, not as a secondary phenomena that you do on Sunday.
I agree. Now, one of the things that you pointed in your writings, which was beautiful, you said spirit and nature, mind and body are not separated. Although the majority of humans cannot help living as if it was. Maybe that is the consciousness of this planet, to live in disunity. Don't you think? I mean, because, like, for me, the majority of the people lived in disunity. They don't really, like, have this integrity.
We've been taught that. It's a learning process. The one thing about humans that does not seem to be in other animals is a free will and choice. And we've been brainwashed in these different myths in that way of a lack of unity, about an inflation of matter. How many schools right now teach about how to be, how to have a healthy relationship? Zero.
Zero.
Zero. Zero. Zero. Zero. Zero. It's all about math and reading and science
and geography. And,
okay, so yeah. That's what a kid learns. Our minds are have been discovered to be plastic.
Yeah.
And so if your neurons are set up about what I call the solar world only, mm-hmm. I love the solar world. I'm into it. It's a big part of my life. But there's another world that none of us are trained into unless you get into your late 20s or 30s like me and are in a developmental crisis, as this young man was, and you happen to have
to face.
But this
man had a really big disorder.
He had a huge disorder.
So huge, we can't, huge. I mean, I'm not saying I'm justifying what he did, okay? Because, of course, I would never justify this.
Sick.
But
it's
I mean, he's sick. He has a problem. That what worries me the most behind this is not only his behavior, because obviously it triggered at one moment and nobody knew that he was going to do this. I'm sure they knew that he had something, but nobody expected him to do something like this. Huh. What kills me of this situation is that he had guns.
Yeah.
How did he get the guns? I cannot understand this.
He had four assault rifles and hundreds of rounds. And in fact, in the paper this morning, it talked about he had about 80 or 90 more rounds. And there's speculation that the only reason it ended is the police fortunately came and he killed himself. But he didn't sound like he was going to stop. He was totally possessed. He was totally possessed.
Do you think that this is something of a brain disorder added to an evil spirit that possessed him, or it's only mindset?
No, it's not mindset. It's the whole thing. Nobody knows anything about this. Anybody that says they do is just on a guessing game. But he was obviously possessed by a dark force in him, and it's like a telescope. When that part takes over and you don't have an environment that supports anything else, and you end up isolating.
You end up
isolating and you get by yourself and you're alone and all the things that can happen to any of us. The tragedy is that so many of us are close to that. How many people scream and yell and say, I'm going to murder, or TV or the movies? It's all, our whole culture is embedded with that. My grandson, 7 years old, the only thing he loves doing is playing violent video games.
No, and it was very interesting. You pointed out your writing about the movies that are showing all the time. Every time I want to go see a movie, I'm like, no, 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 no. It's all about the end of the world, tragedies, terrorism, bombs, killing.
It's easy to call him insane, because he is, or mentally ill, but are we going to call our culture insane, seriously, and mentally ill? Seriously, no, we're not. We're going to go to the movies next week and probably go. I go to violent movies all the time. So are we going to really address this on the bigger global level? I hope that this is so bad. Hope this is so bad that it spotlights the amount of madness that's all over the place, not just in this one horrible situation. This is as worse as it's been in my life for some reason, because, it's obviously they're young kids who haven't even had a life, but there's murders going on all over the place.
All over the world.
So are we going to address the bigger cultural issue? I hope so. I'm optimistic. However, there are going to be things like this that have always gone on and will go on. And are we going to learn and grow and make different choices as a culture, not just individuals?
No, I hear you. It's a cultural thing, and I know it's a society thing. Now, let me ask you this. When you say, I'm very curious about what is your point of view about this, when you said he was possessed by a dark force, do you really, I want you to give me some scientifically fundaments for this, because I want to understand when you say he was possessed by a dark force. I believe in light and I believe in darkness, and of course I believe more in what I don't see than what I see, because I think that the truth is out there.
That's where you and I are very tuned in.
Yeah.
To the same.
I totally believe, of course. It would be very arrogant to think that you can only rely on what you see and not what you don't see. Please, what is love? What is faith? All of that is a source that you really don't see, and it works in a universal level. So I'm saying, when you say this dark force possessed him,
the matter and antimatter come together with the beginning of the cosmos 13.7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
As humans, we're talking about the split between light and dark. When they go together, they have a transcendent function that creates creativity. But when a culture or an individual is over-identified with one and under-identified the other, they have a split psyche, a split consciousness, a mind-body split.
Okay, so where does darkness kick in and possess you? Or what type of entity is it? Is it your own mind attacking you? This is what my question is.
There's no difference between the inner and the outer. You just can't isolate it to the mind.
That's true.
And say mind, because you forget the body is part of the mind.
Yeah.
Do you know that our brains are part of the body and that we're still animals? We think we're so civilized and we think we know it all, but we don't have this wholeness of attitude that we have a mind and a body. And when they work together, the light and the dark on every single cell has light and dark. It's been from the beginning of time, but the mental models that make up the reality, because it's been shown that our mindset determines reality. And as individuals and cultures, if we're over-identified with too much light, we're going to bring darkness, or too much darkness, we're going to bring light.
Wait, pause a second. Too much light will bring darkness. I don't understand that
concept. It's a split. If you inflate, they go together as complementary pairs.
Uh-huh.
That's what this twinning is about on an architectural level. That's all over my writings and on other shows. If your listeners listen to the other shows, we've had some great fertile conversations mm-hmm. about this. However, they go together. They're complementary. They're both and. They're in the moment. If you inflate the light, and you will automatically deflate the lark. Dark.
Okay, I don't see nothing wrong on that, because I think that light is a positive thing.
Well, but it is a fabulous thing, but if you make the whole world light and good and sweet and bright, then the dark possesses you all the time. It comes in your body, it attacks you, you get physical sicknesses. They go together, the inflation of the light. They're together, and we have been taught up light and love is all there is. Well, there's also spirit and matter, there's mind and body. They go together as pairs. We've forgotten, or we've never really been taught, that there's twinning as the architecture of the universe.
Yeah.
In fact, I just discovered something, because we've talked about twinning a lot.
Yeah.
I didn't know that the Milky Way galaxy is a twin to another galaxy. The Andromeda galaxy is actually a twin. Well, what that means on an astronomical level is that they are influencing each other in some subtle way. And spirit and matter are twins, mind and body, wave and particle, matter and antimatter. But have any of us heard of twinning? When I talk about twinning, I get a blank look from people.
Yeah, no, everybody looks at us like, what the heck?
Is
twinning?
But that
like,
is
it's
the
not
core.
A concept that it's even really like earthy.
It's not
saying it.
Like I humbly think I'm one of the few people that ever uses the word.
Yeah, I never heard it before I met you. I heard the law of relatives or
relativity and
relativity.
Wave and particle.
I heard about that exactly, but I never heard about the twinning. Now, Howard, we have to go to a small break. I want to jump to another question, but before we get into it, we'll go to a small break first, and then we'll come back with these questions about twinning and dark light that you just said, and how this person was possessed by an evil force. I like this, how you stated it. I want to get deeper into that.
Sure.
Like that
people
can see
key.
It. Okay, perfect. Ladies and gentlemen, Lost in Transit 1105 every single day to rock your world. Very interesting interview with Howard Teich here. SolarLunar.com. If you're curious to see a little bit of his material and also the interviews that we did before are there. I shall return. Please stay tuned. Anyways, Howard, I want to ask you something that you just said in the break, and I think it was extremely interesting, and because I just see it a lot, I observe a lot people, how they operate and how their feelings are, and I think that people fear a lot intimacy, and you said twinning, it means intimacy.
Well, this concept of twinning, which is really how nature works, twinning is the logic of nature. Not the logic of Plato and the Western world.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been taught logic, but none of us, very few of us have been taught about the logic of nature. And it's actually in the architecture of twinning. But twinning, when I mention the word, I feel anxiety between myself and people. Or people distance. But twinning is about relatedness, intimacy. We're mammals. We're bonded. But none of us have really been educated to what does that really mean? How do you successfully pull off a relationship in reality, moment by moment by moment? And that is an art. That's what I spend my life figuring out as a therapist. And I've got from a person who was very wounded, like most therapists who started off, I was massively wounded. I won't even go into it. I didn't like people. And here I become in the business of talking to people. This is like a joke.
And even you have a show with me now.
From a wounded introvert that I was.
Right, right.
And I've trained myself to watch and learn from what people do and how they are. And that's available to everybody, but there's no education for it. It's all focused on getting a paycheck, frankly. And most people don't really like their work. Some do these days, but not that many. The world's in an economic crisis beyond what it's been in my lifetime. So it's about relatedness. Through relatedness comes consciousness, comes evolution, comes wholeness, comes love, and ends splits. You were talking about, how does the darkness possess you? Are you going to have an extra drink tonight when you know you're past your limit? You're going to drive faster than you think is safe? This is a mechanism in everybody about, are you going to get over-identified with some part of yourself and not keep in symmetry? The twinning is symmetry.
The twinning is symmetry.
It's symmetry. And if you get, and any of us today, tomorrow, the rest of our lives, are we going to overeat? Are we going to over this? Are we going to under that? And it's a matter, are you going to make the adjustment in the moment to be in integrity, in symmetry? I'm trying to do it.
Okay, but let me ask you this, and I'm sure a lot of people are curious about this topic. Like, how do you keep in balance all the time? Do you think
it's
that is even possible?
Not all the time. I actually don't think in balance. I think balance is a misnomer. I believe in flowing balance because energy
flowing
doesn't
balance.
Stop.
I like that word. Yeah,
flowing balance.
Sense.
And one, if you're conscious, you can tell when you're out of balance.
Yeah.
Are you going to have the guts to face it and do something about it? Are you going to think about it or disassociate or fragment? Or are you going to face the fact that you know you're... Everybody knows when they're off balance.
Yeah.
Nobody has to tell them. In fact, somebody tries to tell you, you reject what they're saying. Oh, no, that's not how it is. I'm in balance. No, everybody knows when, most people know when they're off balance. Somebody that's emotionally disturbed doesn't. They get possessed. It's really hard to get out of these possessions. I won't go into it. These complexes, they take over. They can last for 5, 10 years or a whole lifetime. They can end up in this beyond tragedy that's happened.
Yeah.
And all of us get possessed. And there's ways out of it. Are we going to learn and activate and evolve? I hope so. I hope so.
In a different level, let's not take it to the tragedy that happened in Connecticut, but in a different level. And this is what scares me the most, because the Connecticut episode is an extreme. But in order for that guy to get to that extreme, or society to get to that extreme, I go to through a daily basis of seeing probably the half of the people around me moody. People are very moody. And I always call that emotionally irresponsible. People that are emotionally irresponsible are out of balance.
They're possessed.
Do you think that, yeah,
they're
but
possessed.
Do you think that they're aware that they're possessed?
Most times.
Do you think that they know that they're moody?
Most times. They don't know what to,
they
don't
know
what to do.
Really.
About, they don't know what to do. Most people don't know what to do about it. So
well, that's
they,
true. They don't have the tools.
They don't have the tools. They go in denial. I really encourage people to take a look at the 6 steps that are on my website under Quick Fix.
Solarlunar.com.
But there's a way to get out of it. I've struggled all my life to figure out a few techniques and a few tools, and they're certainly more than mine. I don't want to inflate... But I do know mine. I do know it works. And you have to stay with it. It's a matter of using it as a lifestyle, not just when you're hurt.
Yeah,
there's ways to get out of it. There's ways to be more conscious. Not everybody. There's going to be a lot of unconscious people.
Now, let me ask you this, Howard. I'm curious about, because I read a lot about spirituality, psychology, psychiatry. I just love all this field. That's why I have you in my show. But there's something that nor psychologists, psychiatrists, not even science can really discover and can understand what love is, love itself.
Yeah.
Why is this?
Well, my friend, Dr. Fred Allen Wolf, who's an incredible quantum physicist. He was in What the Bleep. He was this curly-haired guy.
Yeah, I love that.
He was the curly-haired guy that stood in front of the Palace of Fine Arts and went around the world with this thing. He says it very clearly in one of his earlier books. There's two kinds of... There's light and there's matter. There's photons and electrons. The thing about light, which is the biggest metaphor for love, to answer your question about love, light has the qualities of photons, which is light, which go into the same quantum space. They're married. When you have matter, electrons, they're not in the same quantum space. It's the exclusion principle. They turn into tension of opposites. Most people are focused on opposites rather than oneness. And so light and love is not only a psychological, emotional thing, it's quantum physics. It's what life is made out of is light. We're all stardust. We're all made out of light. We've all been created by the sun. We are photons and we're matter. And most of us don't focus on the light and the bringing forth of the photon level of life, which is twinning, which is wholeness, because we're twinning and matter. We can't just, you know, around California here, I hate the title of my book at one level because people think it's New Age. You know, you say anything about light, they think you're New Age. Well, the New Age, honestly, I grew up around here, and I was very much watching it. I couldn't participate because all about life. It didn't include matter.
It's true. It doesn't include matter. It's true that you pointed out.
They're one and the same. Matter is made out of light, and light ends up to be what matter is made out of.
Yeah.
So it's not. It's about inflating one and deflating the other. People can be too spiritual and not be in touch with their matter except in their bank account. These are like very pragmatic things that anybody in a culture and parents and adults, doesn't matter what age you are, you can do your own six steps, use my six steps, and call yourself out. Don't be in denial of your shadow. That's what it's called technically is the shadow. The shadow possesses you. The shadow is also the way to wholeness and integrity. And most people avoid their shadow. They think helpless.
Would you call shadow?
Anything that we don't want to admit about ourselves.
Oh, that's interesting.
Our greed, our overeating.
Yeah, our dark side, yeah.
Yeah, and that ends up, if you don't face it, it possesses you.
Yeah, and then I think that intimacy has to do with facing your dark side.
Yeah, and then when you learn to face your dark side, you can admit it in front of your lover or your husband or your wife or your kids and not act like you're better than them and they're wrong and you're right. And that's what most relationships are. I spend endless hours. I'm right and you're wrong. Are you going to listen empathetically to the other one's point of view and twin with it? Or are you going to just deny it and either inside or outside?
Yeah.
Most people won't admit the other one has a truth, and that's a lack of light and love.
Yeah, that
and
is.
It's a human arrogance.
The problems in the planet Earth is most of the problems are that people just don't accept people the way they are and just move on.
And
it's
love
like
and have
debating.
Empathy for them and see their truth.
Exactly. Now, I have a question regarding to one of the writings that you sent me. December 21st. 2012, the sun is aligned with the galactic center of the Milky Way galaxy. It's the end of the year Mayan calendar. Can you please expand this?
Yeah,
because everybody thinks it's the end of the world.
Well, it's not about matter; it's about spirit and matter. And the indigenous cultures, the Mayans particularly, had a very elaborate system. I'll tell you why this Mayan mythology is crucial for me personally. But let me try to answer your question. That there's a 26,000 year cycle that they were able to track. Way before telescopes or way before anything. And they figure that the planets go around in this 26,000, the Earth goes around the Milky Way galaxy every 26,000 years. This is the end of one 26,000 year cycle and the beginning of another. And of course, they say death, but they don't mean physical death because there's been many 26,000 year cycles and the world is still here. The world's going to go on, for a long time until the sun wears out, you know, billions of years in the future. But the truth is, it's the death of a period of life the way it's been.
And what does this mean?
What does it mean psychologically? Let me tell you the story of the Mayan culture.
Okay.
So Western culture has a solar male hero.
Mm-hmm.
Romulus kills Remus.
Yeah.
And the female figure in Western culture is the moon god Mary as a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
In the Mayan culture, when I was trying to understand the twinning part, the Mayans... when the twin heroes went down to face the Lords of Death in the underworld and defeated the Lords of Death, ironically, they realized they were mortals and they had to jump into a fire because they knew they couldn't defeat death. One was born as the sun and one was born as the moon. This twinning is the story of the Mayan culture. I hope it's going to be a global consciousness going forward. It's what's changed my life is understanding twinning and solar lunar twinning. And that to me is the rebirth. So it's the death of the solar masculine and lunar feminine. Because when you have the solar masculine, you don't have the lunar masculine as an archetype. You have evil. And when you have the lunar feminine and you don't have the solar feminine, you only have a part of a woman. And to me, that's what's dying. And what's had the opportunity for rebirth is the solar lunar architecture that's been the center of every culture except Western culture.
Except Western culture, I agree. Well, let me keep going into this topic in a minute because we're going to a small little break. So this is Lost in Transition again with Howard Teich. We continue 15 more minutes. I'm going to take my sunglasses off because, again, I'm safe with him.
You know, it's a great honor because I know that you don't take your sunglasses off with that many people.
I don't.
And I feel totally honored. I feel like it's the solar lunar training that possessed me in the late 80s and the early 90s that makes it possible for me to be here at all. from learning about this material when I was in the darkest moment of my life, in the dark night sea journey. I came across this material not easily, but I found that it's in my book. But more important is that it's living in me and living in others. I'm noticing other people talk about it in certain places in the universe, and I hope your readers will really get a grasp of the solar lunar architecture that's in their cells. It's in the cosmos. It's in their cells. And that's where the Mayans and indigenous cultures and all pre-Judeo-Christian cultures have sun and moon. Egypt, Hopis, Mayans, Canadian cultures, all European cultures. It's the root of life.
Now, we were talking off the air. It's like, how was it possible that these people that didn't have an inch or like a quarter of the technology that we have today, nowadays, They did all the things they did, and they knew so much.
They listened to their emotions and their intuition, and they didn't have the inflated fantasy that logic is the answer to all.
Yeah, we were talking about
They stayed with their instincts, and this material is free. Love is free. Instincts are free. It's all available to anybody, any age. It doesn't matter, all your life. You're born with it, and you're going to die with it. But it's all free. That's what the beauty is. But it means surrendering your ego attachment to what you believe are your expectations of life and being willing to listen to the invisible in you, because your spirit and matter, your matter and antimatter, and it's the antimatter that comes through in intuition and emotions.
Okay, now, we were saying that they didn't have illusions. Do you think that illusions were created in the Western society?
Before,
what do you think about illusions?
What do I think about illusions? I think they're part of a transition phenomena to educate us to something from the invisible that needs to emerge at an architectural level. It's when a culture gets over-identified with it, as many pre-Judeo-Christians did. They just built a whole culture, and people didn't have identities until a few thousand years ago. They had a role in a society, and if you were king or queen or slave, mm-hmm. you had a role. You didn't have an individual identity. That's the great advantage. Everybody can be an individual and have all this material available, and we can all be free regardless of our economic condition if we're conscious.
But do you think that illusions should be there?
Illusions are there. They're the next step to wake up, to admit we have an illusion and turn it into reality.
So that's why we don't need illusion, really.
Well, they come up from the unconscious as an image. Most illusions come up because something needs to be born in an individual or a culture. But if you deny it or don't work with it as a living, if you believe in, I believe in illusions are material to be made conscious, so there's no more those illusions, but something else will come up from the underworld, from the unconscious. We're a visionary machine. We're visioning systems, and the visions can't be stopped. It's a matter of, well, we have all these ego mechanisms to work with them, dance with them, have active imagination, pray with them, or fragment them, deny them, and say they're illusions and put them down. If you learn how to kiss your illusions, they dance in you, and they dance through you, and they teach you where to go.
Give me an example, because I can't follow you there. I don't understand. How do they teach? How can an illusion teach me something?
Give me one of your illusions. I always like asking you. Can you think of one very quickly? Because I'm not the... what's an illusion? Give me an illusion.
I don't know, because I'm pretty real.
Let me say, you have a... that people, if I put down somebody because I'm angry at them, I have an illusion that they're in a box. And for me to see that they are the doorway out of my illusion. So I work with my anger. If I'm angry at somebody, I know I have an expectation that they didn't meet. And so I will take that as my illusion, that they didn't meet it, and I will say, well, what is it that I didn't do to show up, that I created this drama, and I'll see them as the doorway for my own evolution, and I will do almost hardly ever will put them down and express my anger. I want to clean out my part of the illusion that there's something wrong with them, and I want to take a look at what's, quote, wrong with me, because otherwise I'm in an illusion that right. I don't have a shadow.
Okay, let me ask you this. Let me tell you one of my illusions, that people would live all in a good mood. That's one of my illusions. And I know it's an illusion, but
You're going to be caught in that illusion, And what's another way out of that illusion? What would you say? Here's an idea. Well, people are not going to always be in a good mood. Maybe they're going to not be in it. I'm going to do my best to bring them light and love and show them what it's really about. And therefore, they don't have to do it. I'm going to help and participate as a twin to help bring them something because I'm so committed to what I believe in that I'm going to become a teacher as well as a student. That's mm-hmm. that's an action principle, a manifestation. What I hope all
that
of us...
That cancels the illusion?
Well,
or
yeah,
what?
You start getting active and you start teaching people about love in the moment.
Yeah.
They're not going to be in the same space.
It's funny because that's what
transform.
I do. Because
well,
I always
I
believe in this so illusion. I was always like, why are people always in a bad mood and they're just moody and fluctuating?
Well,
and they're
the,
just like...
The other side is that I'm going to teach people about love and light and energy and positiveness. And I'll be out of my illusion that they're in an illusion. And then maybe they won't be in an illusion.
Okay, I have another question here that I do want to ask you. The lover, I pulled it out from your script or your writing. The lover in us is wounded. All of us are like Rudolph before Santa chose him, having been rejected for our unique self or some part of us that did not fit in and which made others anxious. We have become defensive. But this is only our perspective. This is what I think. This is only our perspective. Who said that we were rejected? We kind of created this to ourselves, didn't
well,
we?
Well, I don't know. Let's. By the way, up by the end of this week on solarlunar.com is going to be, I think, a best thing I've ever written about Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. And So I looked up the story. Rudolph is rejected because his nose stood out.
I love his story.
You know,
so
or his toe
too.
Stood out, or he had green hair. And all of us have been rejected. When was the last, you know, we're all being tried. People, our parents were trying to make us into something. They didn't accept us for our red nose or a green thing very often.
No, but we believed that. If we wouldn't have believed it or taken it, we wouldn't feel rejected.
Well, but you take it in because you're up to the age of six, you're in a hypnotic trance.
Oh,
you don't have enough
true.
Material to, and then you live with the wound and you feel disempowered. And it's really hard to get out of what people have programmed you in about what your red nose is. But in the story, this great story, Santa, this part of the architecture of the mind, the Santa in everybody, male or female, it doesn't matter. It's tragic that it's a male image. It can be a female image of Santa picking out that part of us that's off and celebrating it. And as he celebrated it and made him the light in the darkness, in the night, in what I call the night sea journey, all the other, quote, reindeer accepted him and celebrated him, and there was oneness, not fragmentation, not possession by darkness. Because ironically, Rudolph had a red nose and was light. He was energy, and other people thought they were, and they just rejected him. So he was possessed by his overbelief. He was isolated, and by all of us accepting the Rudolph part of us and letting it be our leader and not be avoiding it, and celebrating it and bringing gifts to it and honoring it and facing it, we have a chance to lead the sleigh of our life and go on the journey and the flow or the Tao. It's all about the flow. And when we're not in a flow, we're caught and possessed by some issue. Follow the 6 steps on my website and you got it, or some other spiritual technique that you have, 12 steps or
meditation,
mindfulness,
or prayers, or whatever.
So many different things.
Yeah.
And you can get out of being possessed by your red nose.
Oh, I can't believe that. It's only 1 minute left. Ah, I wanted to ask you the last question. Can we wrap it up in 1 minute if I ask you a question?
30 seconds.
Darkness within darkness, the gate to all mystery. What does this mean?
This means that if you're willing to face your darkness, ironically, you're going to find the great mysteries of life. And what you're going to probably find are the solar lunar. So you're going to find what the Mayans found and every other culture found. Even Western culture started that way, but Western culture killed a certain light for the feminine and a certain light for the masculine. Bringing back the twinning brings back the gateway to evolution.